On page 3, we have one of the classic original NLP patterns, the six-step reframe. The six-step reframe process has been superseded by a process I'm going to teach you later, which is the visual squash parts integration. The reason why the six-step reframe has been superseded is that it doesn't actually tend to integrate the parts, which obviously parts integration does. And also, there is a tendency for the original process to install parts. As in, as we go through the process, you'll see that we actually ask for the unconscious mind to go to the creative part. If the person doesn't have a creative part already, they will have after doing the six-step reframing process. Our point of view in NLP is that less parts is best. It is, however, still a process which is important for you to understand how it works. So these are the six steps. First step is to identify a problem behavior. And then we ask the person's unconscious mind to set up communication with the part that's responsible for the behavior identified in the first step. What we're really looking for is yes and no signals. So this could be a physiological signal, or it could be an internal signal for the client. Once the client notices the signal, and you notice the signal, then we set up the yes and no signals. So it asks the part to increase the signal for a yes and decrease the signal for a no. Again, what we're looking for with our own sensory acuity, we're looking for the signal that we've noticed to increase, or we're also wanting the client to notice that the signal increases. We now have yes and no signals. We have communication with the part that's responsible for the problem behavior. We then ask that part what its highest positive intention for that problem behavior is. Client then becomes aware that in actual fact, this part, although causing a problem, has a positive highest intention for the individual. At this point in time, this is quite a breakthrough for the client. And also what we do is we'd want then the client to acknowledge the part and thank it for having the client's best interests at heart. Then step 4, what we want then is to create new choices for achieving the intention identified in the previous step. We'd actually then ask the part, which creates the problem behavior, to go to the client's creative part and have the client's creative part come up with a number of alternative choices, alternative behaviors that would achieve the same positive intention. We might ask it to create 3 or 10 or 100 or even 1,000. And then we'd ask the problem part to actually select 3 or more new alternative behaviors, new ways of achieving the same highest intention. We then, step 5, check for congruence with the new choices with all other possible parts. If we get the answer is no, other parts within the person's unconscious mind aren't okay with that, then we go back to step 4 and have the creative part come up with some more choices for the problem part to choose. Once we have a yes, the client's unconscious mind and any other parts involved are congruent with the new choices that have been selected, we then go to testing and future pacing, which is the 6th step. We ask, can you think of an event in the past where you could have used these new choices but didn't, and notice how it's different now? That tests the past. Then we want to future pace for the future. Can you think of an event in the future? An event which, if it had happened in the past, you could have used these new choices, but wouldn't have. And notice how it's different now. What we've done here is we've taken a part of the unconscious mind which is creating a problem behavior, having the client notice that in actual fact the problem behavior has a positive highest intention. And again, we've used that highest intention to reframe the problem and have the problem part come up with new behaviors that will actually enable the client to achieve better results, and also the part will achieve its highest intention.